الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
وأعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Most honorable Imam, Ulama, Father of the Quran Kareem, and respected elders of the community, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Irrespective of the background of an individual or a person, every person desires glory and honor, and every human being despises and runs away from disgrace. There is no doubt that when an individual is glorified or enjoys a status or position of honor, then it allows the individual or person to wield some kind of influence. At times, people wield their influence, or they view the possibility of wielding influence through the acquisition of knowledge. So a person will pursue a path of knowledge, and after acquiring a particular professional class, then he or she will be in a position to wield some kind of influence. Similarly, sometimes the pursuit of wealth or the possessions of material things allows an individual or a person to enjoy a position of glory and honor. Now, there's nothing wrong with this in and of itself. But the motivation for wanting to speak about the pursuit of honor and glory and running away from disgrace is twofold. First of all, on a very personal level, in our personal individual context, what tends to happen is a person in his own domestic circle will encounter a scenario where a person of the other gender, his significant other, while undergoing her periodic emotional strain, will pass a remark that is no different to piercing a dagger into the heart of a person. And the person will perceive it as if all his entire glory and honor is gone down the drain. At times, a person will fall on hard times and will view it within his means and logic to leverage off riba and interest, as opposed to a glorified, permissible avenue of leaning on zakah funds to alleviate his financial difficulty. Together with these personal scenarios and personal context of why we need to talk about honor and glory in the paradigm of Islam, we also find the need to calibrate our own moral compasses in terms of what is currently unfolding in the Middle East, in terms of the geopolitical situation, where common Muslims, common believers, are wavering in their own thought processes regarding what is unfolding in the Middle East, specifically in Gaza and Palestine. So, there are just two points to be made, my respected brothers, in the context of the pursuit of honor and glory in the paradigm of Islam, and the desire to be spared from disgrace in our life in this world, and more importantly in the hereafter. The first important point to be made is that in the modern world, the way honor and glory is described and defined varies to the Islamic paradigm. There's a marked difference between how the modern world defines glory and honor and how glory and honor is defined in the Islamic context. And the second important point to be made for this afternoon is that all glory and all honor is the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confers a fraction of His own glory onto human beings, and it is the ultimate responsibility of every human being to control and to God his own glory and honor. So beginning with the first point, the point being that the way in which the modern world defines glory and honor is at variance with how glory and honor is defined in Islam. Firstly, in the modern world, glory and honor is earned. You work for it and you earn glory and you earn honor. Whereas in the Islamic paradigm, glory and honor is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the modern world, you earn glory, you earn honor, and once it is lost forever. In the Islamic paradigm, glory and honor is earned, is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if it is in any way compromised by the individual himself, then tawbah comes to his aid. He repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he can regain his glory and honor. I cite one example. Many will be familiar with a prominent person in the world today, Shahid Bolson. Shahid Bolson is a political commentator. His example is a case in point of a person who compromised at some point in his life his own honor and glory and made all efforts and all attempts to regain his honor and glory. But in the eyes of the modern world, that apology was never enough. Paying for his own crimes was never enough. Because in the modern world, once you earn your glory and honor, if it is compromised, it is lost forever. In the eyes of believers, in the Islamic paradigm, if an individual's honor and glory is compromised in any way, he can regain it. He can earn it again through tawbah and repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the modern world today, glory and honor is limited to this world. It is limited to this world. And for us, in the Islamic paradigm, glory and honor transcends into the hereafter. So, that is why, in the modern world, if an individual is defamed, if a person is defamed, his honor and glory is taken away in his own eyes. And that is why he has a license to pursue someone and to sue that person for defamation. Because in the modern world, glory and honor is only confined to this world. If it is lost in this world, all efforts and all attempts have to be made to regain that glory, even if it means having to go as far as suing for defamation. Because that's the confine of the modern world. Honor and glory is confined to this world only. For us as believers, honor and glory transcends into the hereafter. And this is why we believe that فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Ultimate glory and honor is when an individual is spared from the fire of Jahannam and granted entry into Jannatul Firdaus. Thirdly, in the modern world today, honor and glory is an end in itself. And in the believer's paradigm, honor and glory is a means towards an end. It's a means towards an end. And to cite one example, if you just think about Nobel laureates, for a century now we have Nobel laureates and Nobel Prizes being dished out. In the entire history of Nobel laureates, there are only two people, only two individuals who received a Nobel Prize on two occasions. And that too, not for the same reason. So a person may have been awarded the Nobel Prize for chemistry maybe, and maybe for peace, but not for the same thing. Why? There's a very subtle point being illustrated to us here. Because in the modern world, glory and honor is something that is, it's an end in itself. If you've climaxed, if you've reached the climax, if you've earned the Nobel Prize, you've climaxed. You don't achieve further. It stifles growth and development within that same individual, within the same discipline. That is why, even though in the entire history of Nobel Prizes, only two people receive Nobel Prizes twice, and that too, not for the same reason. It illustrates that when an individual sees glory and honor as an end in itself, when that end in itself is acquired, there's no reason to pursue anything further. It stifles progress in its own way. Secondly, as a believer, we subscribe to a belief that all honor and glory is the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confers a fraction of His own glory to human beings, while it remains the responsibility of every individual, every person, to control that glory and the compromise of that glory and honor which is conferred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a person. The golden mean and the golden example and standard in guarding one's own honor through his own actions is none other than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to endure Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, the hypocrite, trying to create a wedge between the Muhajireen and the Ansar along racial lines, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam demonstrated the art of guarding his own honor through his own actions. Because Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anh came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and narrated the entire incident of Abdullah ibn Ubay trying to sow a wedge between the Ansar and the Muhajireen along racial lines. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh sought permission from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to take the neck off and to take this person out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam prevented Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh from doing it for a very divine reason. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was demonstrating and illustrating for mankind to come till the day of Qiyamah that honor and glory is conferred fractionally by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is your, mine and your responsibility to guard it. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not take this man out. If he is taken out, then the disbelievers will be given the upper hand. They will say, look at this man, look at this person who claims to be a prophet. He takes out his own people. He destroys his own people. So this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam took the matter into his own field of influence. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam controlled the discourse through his own actions. He guarded his own honor and glory through his own actions. In the Quran, to cite another anecdote, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to the Jewish nation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to these people who were given every conceivable bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people were granted and were given the best of Anbiya. And these people didn't even stop at taking the lives of Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to these people in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةِ وَالْمَسْكَنَةِ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةِ They have been disgraced, ordained as disgraced nation. They are disgraced nation. And وَالْمَسْكَنَةِ Till the day of Qiyamah, they are maskana. They are always begging, they are always miskeen, always seeking assistance from someone. Because they don't have conviction in their own cause. They don't have conviction in their own selves, and this is why they have to leverage of someone else. Just to illustrate a very interesting point in terms of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained that this nation is a cursed nation for time immemorial. This week alone, a very important historical piece surfaced. And this is the letter that was written by Martin Luther King in 1546. This is a letter that was written by Martin Luther King to all the pastors and the priests. It was written in 1546. Martin Luther King, in this letter, and I urge you to go and listen to this voice note. It's called The Jews and Their Lies. Listen to it in its entirety. In this entire clip, you'll be surprised that Martin Luther King is warning pastors and priests against the plague of the Jewish nation. This is in 15. What is interesting is this is the kind of dhilla and disgrace through their own doing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained in the Quran. It is a letter written by Martin Luther King in 1546, which is two centuries before Jewish Zionism is founded. Just contemplate for a moment what kind of practice, what kind of human beings was Martin Luther King seeing in his own time? What kind of conduct was this person seeing in his own time to be saying what he's saying? So listen to this, the Jews and their lies. It's very instructive. And it allows us an opportunity, one more opportunity, to understand and to comprehend that this nation is so disgraced, that they have failed abjectly to understand that they are dealing with a nation who are willing to die in order to live forever. They are dealing with a nation to whom dying free is more valuable than living as slaves. If they take out Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, they have to contend with Ismail Haniya, rahimahullah. If they take out Salah Shahada, they have to deal with Muhammad Daif. If they take out one warrior, they have to deal with Yahya Sinwar. If they take out Yahya Sinwar, they have to deal with someone else. From time immemorial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained that this nation will be cursed. And this nation will be cursed not as a result by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but by doing of their own ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every bounty endowed upon them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for having taken the lives of their own anbiya. To conclude, my respected brothers, I cite one more anecdote. This is the anecdote that is probably the most important of all anecdotes mentioned this afternoon, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained a fraction of His own glory and honor for every human being, each one of us. But it is our ultimate responsibility to control and to guard our own honor and glory in this world, and more importantly, for the sake of the Yalla. In the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he describes a scene of Jannah when all believers will be entered into Jannatul Firdaus. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be enjoying the bounties of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them that if they are happy, and every believer will respond that Alam tubayyid wujuhana, haven't you created our faces with glory and shine? Alam tudkhilna al-jannata wa tunajjina min an-nar, haven't you protected us from Jahannam and granted us entry into Jannatul Firdaus? Every believer will be saying this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then fayakshifu al-hijab, then the hijab will be lifted. And then fama u'tu shay'an ahabba ilayhim min an-nadhar ila rabbihim. There will be nothing more dear to a person than to see and to witness the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To see the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there will be one unfortunate group who will not enjoy this privilege of witnessing the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One group. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. There will be one group of believers who will be sheepishly hanging their heads in shame and in remorse. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. They will be so disgraced and overcome with remorse on that day. It will be those people, those believers, who were reminded, had every opportunity, nothing stood in the way, but they were neglectful of their prayers and their salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only this group will be spared from the privilege of witnessing the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point being, my respected brothers, that all glory and honor belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A fraction of it is ordained for us as human beings. We already have an anecdote of the golden mean of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam through his own actions guarded his own honor and glory. We have an anecdote in the Quran of the Christians who worshipped a calf after Musa alayhi salatu wasallam, through their own doing compromised their own glory and honor in the court of Allah. We have the glaring example of the Jews who, through their own ungratefulness and slaughtering of anbiya physically, the question lies whether we slaughter the anbiya in a figurative sense by not leading their example. We have the example of believers who will, through their own conduct of neglecting salah while having all the amenities and all the ability to do it, nothing standing in the way, through their own actions, compromising their own glory and honor in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. That honor and glory has a definition in the world today. But it varies markedly from how honor and glory is defined in the Islamic paradigm. In the modern world today, honor and glory is earned. For us as believers, it is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is granted, it is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the modern world today, honor and glory is limited and confined to this world. For us, it transcends into the hereafter. And in the contemporary world, in the modern world today, honor and glory is a means, it's an end in itself. And for us as believers, it is a means to an end. And this is why we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily supplications, Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira wa fi ayuni nasi kabira. Oh Allah, allow me to continue belittling myself in my own eyes, but magnificent in the eyes of other people. So that if for as long as I remain magnificent in the eyes of other people, I will be a means and an intermediary to improve their lives. That is my responsibility. It is a means towards an end. Glory and honor is not an end in itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of understanding. Amin wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakum Allahu Ahsan al Jaza to Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Hafiz Sahab for those valuable advices. Inshallah, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants glory and victory to our brothers and sisters in Palestine and every part of the world, inshallah. Wherever the Ummah is in pain, inshallah, like Mufti Sahab said, glory is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. We will see that day when Allah will give the believers that glory as well, inshallah. Respected elders and friends, we say Jazakallah once again to Mufti Sahab, who is one of the panel of Muftis at the Jamiat offices, alhamdulillah, doing sterling work, assisting the Ummah in the various queries that come on a daily basis. Allah continue to bless Mufti Sahab in his knowledge, inshallah. We make a humble appeal once again to one and all. You know, there was a beautiful saying that I read last night, somebody had sent it to me. They say, when you die, you do not take what you have. You do not take what you have, but you take what you gave. You do not take what you have, but you take what you gave. SubhanAllah. So beautiful it sounds as well. So we have this opportunity every Friday to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is our glory and this is our victory, where Allah uses our wealth that He has given us for His path, alhamdulillah. What an honor to give in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where all these various activities are taking place. Quran is being read, dhikr is being made, salah is being made, inshallah. That wealth that Allah has blessed us with, we spend it back into His house. Allah will indeed give us glory and victory to that, inshallah, in this dunya and in the akhirah. We have the card facilities as well, inshallah, available here at this entrance as well as the other entrance. Today they don't even use cards, they use their phones today. MashaAllah, Samsung Pass and Samsung Pay and iPhone Pay. You just step and you move on. So just step a grain and move on, inshallah. Jazakallah, my brothers.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبالخصوص خير الورى وأفضل الأنبياء محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه ومن والاه. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وإمامنا وزعيمنا وقائدنا وقدوتنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله في السر والعلن، فإن في ذلك السعادة في الدارين والحماية من كيد الكائدين. وإن تصبروا وتتقوا لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا، إن الله بما يعملون محيط. أيها الإخوة، مما لا شك فيه أن الجرائم التي يرتكبها المجرمون بإخواننا ونسائنا وأطفالنا في غزة العزة وفلسطين الغالية أبرزت الهوية الحقيقية للكيان الصهيوني، حيث تخلى عن إنسانيته. وفي نفس الوقت أظهرت هذه الظروف الصعبة لنا وللعالم ثبات المقاومة وصمودها في وجه العدوان، فهذا يدل على اعتمادهم على الله وحده، لا يضرهم من خالفهم أو خذلهم، كما أخبر بذلك الصادق المصدوق صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونقول لإخواننا المظلومين وقد انقطعت عنهم الأسباب: صبرا آل غزة، صبرا آل غزة، فإن موعدكم إما النصر وإما الشهادة بإذن الله. نهنئ ونبارك لشهداء غزة وأهليهم على تضحياتهم العظيمة التي أعادت للأمة الإسلامية كرامتها وفخرها، ونقول لكم: لقد اصطفاكم الله. قال تعالى: إن يمسسكم قرح فقد مس القوم قرح مثله، وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس، وليعلم الله الذين آمنوا ويتخذ منكم شهداء، والله لا يحب الظالمين. ونذكركم وإيانا بقول الحبيب الأعظم صلى الله عليه وسلم: واعلم أن في الصبر على ما تكره خيرا كثيرا، وأن النصر مع الصبر، وأن الفرج مع الكرب، وأن مع العسر يسرا. كما أننا نذكر أنفسنا بالمسؤولية التي جعلها الله في أعناقنا تجاه إخواننا في فلسطين. عن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم مثل الجسد، إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى. فيا عباد الله، اصطلحوا مع الله وتوبوا إليه واستغفروه، حتى يفرج ربنا عنا وعن إخواننا المستضعفين، وما ذلك على الله بعزيز. اللهم ثبتهم بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله الله تعالى إلى كافة الناس بشيرا ونذيرا، وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، اتقوا الله، اتقوا الله تعالى في السر والعلن، وذروا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن، واعلموا أن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه، ثم ثنى بملائكة قدسه، ثم ثلث بالمؤمنين من برية جنه وإنسه، فقال تعالى مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا ومولانا محمد، وعلى آله وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وبناته وعميه وحفيديه وأصحابه أجمعين، خصوصا على أفضل الصحابة بالتحقيق سيدنا أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى الناطق بالصدق والصواب الفارق بين الحق والباطل سيدنا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى كامل الحياء والإيمان جامع آيات القرآن سيدنا عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه وعلى أسد الله الغالب سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى السعيدين الشهيدين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة أبي محمد الحسن وأبي عبد الله الحسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعلى أمهما سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء رضي الله تعالى عنها وعلى عميه المكرمين أبي عمارة حمزة وأبي الفضل العباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل أعداءهم اليهود والنصارى والمشركين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني يذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا اللهم ربنا لا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Mm-hmm.